The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live at Hard Times Cafe in Springfield. We are fired up to be here for the Friday field trip. It's December 6th, 2024, ahead of a Commanders bye weekend. A lot of great college football. Excellent NFL weekend ahead that can be stress-free for Commanders fans, which is nice. But we'll be celebrating with our listeners the 8-5 start, the very likely playoff push for the Commanders that lies ahead today on this Friday field trip. Got some prizes to give away as we enjoy some fellowship with listeners out and about. We like to get out of the studio on these Fridays during the football season and talk shop. So come on out to Hard Times in Springfield. Hello, Danny Rouillet.
What's up, buddy? Everything is just so casual. Everything's so relaxed. There's no urgency. There's no pressure. There's no, what if they screw me this weekend? What if they let me down? What if they have one of those games like they had a couple weeks ago against Dallas? Gone. There's no stress. It's the weirdest thing. I look forward to football season for, you know, 7 months out of the year. Then when it's arrived, I look forward to this week, maybe the most, where there's no football. There's an irony there, or there's some sort of dichotomy someone could write a paper about. I wouldn't read it, but you could summarize it for me. It is so refreshing that I don't have to worry about anything. Because to me, I realize it's about myself as a fan. I hate losing more than I love winning. I know a lot of people have said that, but it really is true for me. The joy I get from a win is good. I like it. I experience the joy like everyone else does. The losses bother me so much in anything that this is, I will take this bargain every time where there's no game.
For me, it's less deep. It's just the stress-free opportunity to watch the NFL, which I love. And these standalone games like last night can be magnificent.
How fun was that?
But when you get a Sunday with a bevy of games, and in fact, with 6 bye weeks, we're down to 26 teams in action, so 13 games. You have the Thursday matchup, the Monday matchup, so we'll have right around, you know, 22 teams or so in action on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great opportunity to catch up on everybody else, see what Washington stacks up favorably in, see where they struggle a little bit, covet other people's players, talk about what it would be like if that guy was on your team. Just a good opportunity to kick it
stuff on
the couch and not have to worry about your team, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But speaking of last night, I want to start with the Packers and the Lions because that game was relevant to Washington. Before we get to the Commanders angle, kudos to the Lions. That's a really good home win.
Yep.
To get to 12-1 in the division. The Packers are very good.
They're good.
I watched that game, and even though Green Bay lost 34-31 at the horn on a 35-yard Jake Bates field goal, I come away, I don't know about you guys, impressed by Green Bay. I think Green Bay is a playoff, frisky, potential
be a tough
sleeper
out.
Team.
Yeah.
They can run the ball really well with the best of them. Last night, Josh Jacobs was held in check to about 3.7 a pop, but he had 3 rushing touchdowns. They're really physical up front defensively. I thought they did a good job against as good a rushing team as there is in the league in Detroit. And Jordan Love's just an athlete. He misses some throws. He does some fall-away stuff that I don't love. There's some bad mechanics at times, but he makes some crazy throws. I mean, he makes some outrageous plays.
Yes.
Don't let that guy get hot. That's the vibe I got yesterday, mm-hmm. Danny. Like, sharpshooter on a heater. You start hitting these shots. The next thing you know, you're behind the line, and you're just you're stepping across the timeline, checking the temperature. Like, I think Green Bay, I know the story isn't them. They lost last night. That's a team I wouldn't want to play in the playoffs.
I don't know if this is a Scalder trophy here, and this is a hot take, but I'm watching that game going, both these teams are better than Washington. Obviously, Detroit, we know. I mean, their resume speaks for itself. But for Green Bay, too, they were right there, punch for punch, got off to that terrible start, right? They're down 10-0. They turn it over. No panic in that game. Like, no panic in that team. They're just methodically coming back, doing what they do. And Jordan Love, to your point, for a guy that's that athletic, so rarely runs. There's very little rushing yards to his game for somebody that can move around that well. And you could tell it's coached into him. Your running is to throw the ball. And it's like it is all the way, you know, all the way in the red on that in terms of the meter. But they're dangerous. I love your analogy of don't let that guy get hot. Because the overall numbers this year for him, too many turnovers. And no, it's overall mildly disappointing considering how we finished last season. He was a kind of a dark horse MVP candidate. But they are dangerous, man. They are well coached, pretty solid defense. They got a little ground and pound going. They got just enough playmaking. And Jordan Love can be, at his ceiling, one of the best players in the league. That was something.
To me, and this is very specific to just my proclivity, that's what I want. I want the quarterback that if he wanted to run, could. He could go out and give you 40 rushing yards every game, probably, with his athleticism and his traits. But he has no interest.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to stand in the pocket and make throws. That's kind of what I look for, is the passer who happens to be an athlete. Not the athletic runner who can also pass. But, yeah, he's got a long ways to go in his development, I think, still, because, as you said, he makes some mistakes. But the big deal with the Packers losing was that Washington gained ground. They are going to go into next week, week 14, one game back of the Packers at that point for the sixth wild card spot, which is massive. If you're the seventh playoff team, there are seven in each conference. There are four division winners. There are three wild cards in the NFL playoffs. Currently, Washington is the seven seed, the last team in. The seven seed this year is going to play either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Detroit Lions on the road. The Lions right now at 12-1 are probably going to be a game up on Philadelphia, who's going to be 11-2 after they very likely beat Carolina this weekend. Those two teams are the two best teams in the NFC, bar none. And they're probably going to meet in the NFC Championship game. So the gift you get by getting to the sixth seed is mm-hmm. avoiding playing one of those two teams for a week. If you had to play another really good team, that would stink, but still would be a benefit. The beauty of getting to the sixth seed in the NFC this year is you're probably going to get to play a very pedestrian division winner. Whether that's the winner in the South, Bucks or Falcons, who right now are both 500, or the winner in the West, where right now the division leader is 7-5 Seattle, and the Cardinals are 6-6 right behind them. So there's a Grand Canyon gap between playing Philly on the road, Detroit on the road, or one of those other division winners. And that's what's at stake for Washington when they come out of the bye with four games to go. A 3-1 stretch to get them to 11-6 would give them a really good chance to catch the Green Bay Packers. And last night made that more of a reality.
Yeah, that's why last night was big. So you look down the stretch for Green Bay, nothing crazy for them in terms of games that they can't win. They could win every game on their schedule the rest of the way. They're obviously a very good team, who is 9-4 resume proves that. But the most difficult game they had left was last night. So they come up just short against Detroit. At Seattle, which we all know is never easy to do.
That is a hard place to go play.
Yeah, Seattle's good but not great, right? They're inconsistent, some really good moments and some befuddling moments for them. But still, tough place to play. New Orleans at Minnesota, that game's going to matter for playoff seeding and standing, you would think.
At Minnesota, that's a really tough game. They have two losses all year.
Yes.
And they're currently the number three team in the conference.
Absolutely. I would say Minnesota's not playing as well now as they were early, but still formidable, right? They're not pushovers in a divisional game. So, at best, out of there, for Washington, that they could hope for, maybe 2-2. If you're rooting against Green Bay, I mean, Green Bay's not a team that's going to go 1-3 down the stretch. I just don't feel like that's who they are. Now, again, notwithstanding injuries or something crazy happens that we don't know about. But for the most part, you know, maybe you split the Seattle and Minnesota games or whatever. To me, most likely they're going to go 3-1 down the stretch, which ends up with 12 wins. They're 12-5. Now, you know, that doesn't bode well for Washington, but at least the door is opened. Where if Green Bay slips up at all, Washington can maybe own that destiny, not just to make it in, but to be the much more desirable seed, to your point. Neither have Atlanta, Tampa, or the aforementioned Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they go 2-2, though, and that would open the door to a 3-1 Washington.
It would, yes.
Catching them. And by the way, if the Commanders catch them, they will probably have the tiebreaker. Because the head-to-head matchup between the two is the first tiebreaker. You guys, as Commanders fans, know Washington did not play Green Bay this year. Next would be your record within the conference, and Washington's going to have a better record within the conference very likely at that point.
To that point, three of Green Bay's four losses are in the conference, I believe. No, all four, excuse me. And then if they have nothing but NFC opponents left, so if they go 2-2, that ends up with six conference losses, which would bode well for Washington.
And I don't again, it's not like they're playing Carolina two times and we're saying they're going to go 2-2.
Right.
At Seattle, New Orleans playing much better with an interim head coach. At the Vikings, who are a top three team in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you close with the Bears, who have fired their coach and are in a different spot as an organization than they were earlier in the year. But I do think Green Bay is really good at 9-4. They're in the best division in football, the NFC North. Detroit's 12-1. Minnesota may not be as good as its record, but has been outstanding this year. And Green Bay last night gave the Lions all they could handle. Dan Campbell did a really, really gutsy, I think smart, but a lot of people would say crazy thing at the end of the game. And we've seen this work for him. We've seen this blow up in his face.
Live by the sword, die by the sword, man.
This giveth and this taketh away. They certainly lost their playoff game last year in some way because of being aggressive. But it worked last night where they did not settle on fourth and short multiple times over going when they didn't necessarily have to. And last evening, they could have kicked a field goal, given the Packers the ball back down three with about 40 seconds to go. Instead, he goes for a fourth down. If you don't get it, you are getting demolished if you lose that football game. The press conference is just a bunch of reporters beating up on you for not doing the easiest thing that you should have done all game long. Jared Goff starts to fall
down
on the snap, and you're going, oh, my God, it's going to happen. They're going to screw this up. They get the handoff to David Montgomery, plows ahead for about 8 yards, and then they run the clock out and kick the game winner. By the way, you know who their kicker is, Jake Bates.
Mr. Bates.
Do you know that guy's backstory?
Yeah, he started kicking an hour and a half ago, soccer guy, right? Then he went to the XFL, UFL, whatever.
I don't know if he's a soccer guy, but he's from the United Football League, and that's the guy who kicked for Detroit's UFL team that a lot of us who watch spring football were desperately trying to get the Commanders to sign when they didn't have a kicker after the Brandon McManus situation. Now, maybe he just wanted to stay in Detroit, and it was easy for him to parlay the Detroit UFL team right into the Lions and preferred to go to a team that was one of the favorites in the NFC, and Washington tried. But it is good to see that he's gone from being the best kicker in the spring league to now one of the better kickers in the NFL.
By the way, kicking opposite Brandon McManus, which, by the way, doesn't go unnoticed, as kicking last night was pretty good.
McManus has solved the Packers' kicking problem.
Yes, indeed. So I want to go to the fourth down decision, by the way, super quick, because that's what everybody likes to talk about. So this is who they are. And there's something to be said for that. Now, when it misses and it backfires, I mean, you look at, for example, they're going for it on fourth down in their own territory, not at the 49, but I think it was at their 33 at that point, or give or take, where they lose it on fourth down. I don't get it. A pitch play to Jahmyr Gibbs gets snuffed out, stuffed. Green makes the ball, immediately goes down and scores. If that ends up costing, if you lose the game there, everybody gets to question it. But again, it's like the analogy I always use is, think about if you've ever played blackjack before. There's what we call the book, which means you do the thing that gives you the best percentage chance every time. If you sometimes go by the book, sometimes don't, then you actually end up losing more statistically over time. In other words, you either hit on 16 every time or you don't, and I'm oversimplifying it. But whatever you do, you maintain that consistent approach, and it gives you the best chance over the long haul. That's their philosophy, and it bothers a lot of people. Right, it rubs old school football people the wrong way that one of their own, Dan Campbell, who's eating kneecaps and cracking toes and all that other kind of stuff, is almost betraying their punt at all costs trust to go for it on fourth down way more often. He does what I would do, by the way. Now, I shouldn't be a head coach, but I view losing possession as catastrophic, and you shouldn't do it unless absolutely forced to. And it blew up in their face a little bit, so that much more guts to do it later to ice the game. Amazing.
They had three fourth down go for decisions last night in the second half. They had the one at their own like 49-yard line, if you remember, where they got it.
Got it.
Then later was the one you're talking about, close to their own 40 in minus territory, where they did a pitch. I hated the play call, actually. Thought it was too long developing on fourth and short from Ben Johnson, who otherwise was pretty awesome again last night. They didn't get that one. And then the end of game plus territory, we're not sending out the kicker because correctly, and you're going to see more of this, view it like a basketball game. We need to have the ball last. We're not giving Jordan Love a chance, even without timeouts, to just hit a couple throws in the middle of the field while we're protecting the sideline.
We made a shot with 10 seconds left, and Steph Curry gets another crack at it. We'll be fine.
Yeah, wrong. Well, I mean, it's 40 seconds. It was a lot of time. So they said, we're basically playing for overtime if we kick this field goal because we think they're going to go get a field goal. Why don't we could not get it and play for overtime too.
Yep.
Now, the risk is obviously if you don't get it and then they go get the field goal and you lose. But Dan Campbell does not spend a lot of time thinking about what happens if we fail. This is what I love about Dan Campbell. He thinks about, if we get this, what happens. Did you hear him post-game last night?
In the post-game?
In the locker room,
yeah.
I mean, there's nobody better at addressing his team. You can just see why this culture has turned around over a few years. He does not get enough credit for how smart he is, how cutting edge he is with decisions. We talk a lot about the fourth downs now with him. But this is not the football cowboy that a lot of us thought it was when he got hired. He is an outstanding head coach. I believe we have Dan Campbell in the locker room last night after the game.
I told you you'd never forget this game. You will never forget this game. We don't have to talk about how tough we are. We don't have to talk about how resilient we are. We live it, man. We've been living it. Where's our defense at? Offense, that's a way to step up, man. That's a way to step up. There you go, Skip. Keep throwing up. Whatever you're doing up there. That's a way to freaking land on the line. Guys, I'm so freaking proud of you, man. That's a way to show up. You talk about pressure, we live in pressure. That's where we freaking thrive. You did it again. You freaking did it again. All right, it doesn't matter who's playing for us. It doesn't matter what's going on. You always find a way to win. That's what champions do. This is not happenstance, man. This doesn't just happen. This has been in the making, man. This has been in the making. All right, we are all supposed to be here together, man. We're destined for this. Just stay the course. That's 12, and that's 4 in the division. All right, I got 2 game balls. All right, first one here, 6 receptions. I can't read this first one. I'm going to say 43 yards, 2 tugs. This first one since
he just goes on.
Congrats, Tim Patrick and Jack Bates.
But I got to tell you, man, that gives me chills listening to that. You want to know why they've gone from 3-13-1 in his first year to now 12-1 in the span of a few seasons? Mm. They love that guy, and you can see why. I mean, you want to play for that guy, and they have built a juggernaut. Brad Holmes, the general manager there, has done an outstanding job. Campbell's very, very good. Ben Johnson is right now the best offensive coordinator in the league. You know, it's him and Kyle Shanahan in terms of designing and calling plays. They are a machine. So I ask you this, Dan. You're not a big Jared Goff guy, but in this offense, which he's been in now for years, with a great running game, a terrific offensive line, and weapons around him, it's pretty efficient and automatic. 3 more touchdowns, 283 yards last night. Do you think the Lions are Super Bowl good?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about the fact that they are. I mean, the weakness of Jared Goff, everybody knows. Either, you know, it's outside or it's any kind of pressure. If you make that praying mantis move his feet in an uncomfortable way, he turns into a pedestrian at best quarterback. Well, what if he never has to do that? We talk about this all the time. Like, a totally contrasting style. Think of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson for so many years, where it's like, if you make them play this way, then they're vulnerable. Well, what if that year happens where they don't have to play that way? What if they get a lead in a playoff game and can salt it away with Derrick Henry and thumping it down people's throat? What if you never make them do the thing that they're not as good doing, which is entirely possible when you have the one seed and you win one game to go to the NFC title game and then one game to be in the Super Bowl? That's not crazy. They are absolutely Super Bowl good. I thought they'd take a step back when they've had these injuries on defense. Hasn't happened. Beyond impressive.
We also shouldn't gloss over the guy vomiting during Dan Quinn's speech. He's like, whatever you're doing over there, just keep puking. Anyway, post game. These guys are different, man.
So that guy was Dan Skipper. And you guys know that name because he was the guy in the controversial play against the Cowboys last year that supposedly, you know, when he went out to the ref and said,
oh,
checking in.
Hey, look, I'm eligible. Look at my face. Yeah.
But he's like a long-time line. He's 30 years old. They love him there. But, yeah, he, as Dan Campbell's addressing the team, is like bent over, releasing the demons. And Dan Campbell's like, whatever you're doing, man, keep doing it because I love you so much, brother. And he just keeps up with his speech.
Unreal.
It was good television. 34-31 Detroit last night. Yeah, they're Super Bowl good. They're the best team in the NFL right now.
Yes.
They might be upset. I mean, weird things happen in the league all the time. The number one team in the regular season doesn't always win the Super Bowl. But I would take them on a neutral site to beat Kansas City. I would take them on a neutral site to beat Buffalo. I think that game's coming up, and I can't wait for that, by the way. Pretty sure we have that on the horizon. I would take them to beat Philly, although it'd be a great football game. Eagles could give them a run because I think the Eagles could run the ball.
They're to me the best built to beat them. Philly,
I agree. Also, Detroit's without 13 players now on injured reserve. I mean, you would think at some point these mounting injuries are going to be a problem. And they weren't last night, and they just haven't been. But the bye week looms for Washington. So the question we should tackle next is, how are you guys going to spend your bye week? What is your move this weekend? Will you take this opportunity to do some holiday activities? Will you get out of the house? Or are you going to post up, put your feet up, and watch 7 hours of commercial-free football? What are you doing for the bye week? That's the question on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 3:30 on Grant and Danny, Mike Golic Jr. is going to join us. We'll preview the NFL weekend ahead. At 5 o'clock today, Eric Edholm with some thoughts on the NFL postseason picture and how the Commanders fit in. And at 6 o'clock, we'll get a preview of what is a pretty juicy conference championship weekend in college football, all coming up on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. It is a field trip Friday. We are out and about. We're in Springfield at Hard Times Cafe. So come on by if you're in the area. And by the way, a lot of people are in the area because 395, 495, 295, 695, 895.
It's all right here.
195.
Did I think 795.
795.
1499.
All of the roads, I think, are right near this road. So if you're on the road, you're near here in a kind of a circuitous way. Get here. That's the point.
Bring yourself here.
Come say hello. Come hang out with us at Hard Times in Springfield. But it is a bye week ahead for the Commanders. They're 8-5. They put a lot of work in. So right now they have a great chance to make the playoffs. In fact, let's look at the odds of how this season will end for Washington. I saw this today on Twitter from ESPN's analytics department. So this is the chance that the Commanders end up in the various spots in the NFC playoff picture as of right now. And I think the way that they do this is they go through each game with your percentage chance of winning. They play them all out, and then they see how things line up. So for Washington at this moment, they have over a 50% chance of being the 7 seed in the NFL playoffs. Right at, it looks like, about 52% to be the number 7 seed, which is where they're sitting right now.
So I want to be clear, that's not just to make the postseason.
Correct.
That means to end up at the 7th spot.
They have a 24% chance to be the 6th seed. So you add those two together to be the 6 or the 7, you're looking at a
76%. Boom, that was in my head.
There you go.
Yep.
The 5 seed, which I don't see as a possibility because that would mean both Green Bay and Minnesota collapse, and those teams play each other, and it's just hard to imagine two really good teams basically both cave in at the same time while Washington goes on a heater in the Final Four. But there is a 3.7% chance that they drive that path where they would be the 5 seed. And so now you're talking about 78% likeliness that they are a wild card team. which means, well, 77% you make the playoffs, except there's still a 2.3% chance that they win the division and they're the 2 seed. There's a 0.1% chance they win the division and fall to the 3 seed. So all purpose, Danny, 52 plus 24 is 76 plus about 4 is 78. I mean, we're talking about over an 80% chance, according to ESPN Analytics, that they get into the playoffs, with them assuming they'll be the 4 seed, if not the 3 seed.
Yeah.
The 7 seed, if not the 6 seed.
Yeah, that Tennessee win was big. Stopped the bleeding, number one. Changed narratives, number two. But number three, just for seeding purposes, right? Instead of sliding down the mountain, now you got yourself back in a good position, which they did so much of in that first half of the season, right? Finishing 7-2 at the kind of the rough midway point. There's no such thing anymore with odd number of games. But that was, you put enough hay in the barn where you could afford a slip up and still be in a very good spot ahead of schedule. You're not in the class of a Buffalo or Detroit or Philly just yet, and I think that's okay, by the way. This is still incredibly valuable stuff for a young rookie quarterback and kind of the first year of this regime, and I keep reminding people and reminding myself, normally your first year is spent cleaning out all the closets and all the old busted stuff and people that you don't want there anymore whose guts you hate, right? Like the new guys trying to get their new everything from the trainer to the secretary to everything in between, and you go 5-12. They superseded that. Just, again, in the first half of the season, exceeded their over-under win total in a lot of books. So we are ahead of schedule. This is all kind of gravy and pretty good.
Oh, it's definitely a house money rest of the year. But they do now have to finish this thing and get into the playoffs, or it's going to feel like a collapse. I mean, it's all there for you. You've done the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one asked you to run a marathon, but you woke up and told everyone you were going to.
Yep.
And then you went out, and you've now run 22 miles. And you're not that tired. So you either can finish the damn thing or you can go sit down. And if you go sit down, well, even though I never asked you to, now I'm going to be a little disappointed that you didn't finish what you started.
Agreed.
You might as well put the rest of the hay in the barn. But at 8-5, the way I look at this is they don't need to win a playoff game this year. I don't think in anybody's eyes for this thing to be a success. When the season ends, however it ends now, this was a absolute binary win of a year. It's a successful season. But being the 7 seed, you're almost certainly not going to win a playoff game. Being the 6 seed, you're going to have basically like a 50-50 chance of winning a playoff
game. You'll be, what, like 3-point dogs on the road
at
somewhere?
Worst,
yeah.
I think if you go to Tampa Bay, I don't think you would be a 3-point dog. If you go to Atlanta, I know you won't be a 3-point dog.
Mm.
At Seattle, because of the environment, maybe. But Seattle's going to have to play better football down the stretch. And Geno Smith's going to have to protect the football better. He's got one more touchdown than interception this season, if I'm going to say that you're going to be a substantial dog in that game. So that's what's on the line to me.
Yep.
The rest of the way is just making the playoffs or actually having a chance to win a playoff game. And if just making the playoffs is all that matters, then you can go 2-2 the rest of the way. You can be 10-7 and get in as the 7 seed and go lose handily to the Eagles or the Lions, and then we'll all go our separate ways and we'll get back together in September and push the envelope even further, hopefully. Nothing wrong with that. But if you can go 3-1 maybe down the stretch, and you can get to the 6th spot, let's go have a postseason.
Yeah.
There has not been a playoff win for the football team in this town since 2005. It's all out there for
20 years.
It's right there. Just grab it. Take advantage of it.
Well, especially looking at their remaining schedule, too. 2-2 would feel like a par. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? But that doesn't win tournaments. To your point, it's kind of like the next level thing is you got a rematch with Philadelphia. That's the toughest game left, and that's obvious. Okay, that's an excellent team that's probably vying for the 1 seed. Them and Detroit are going to go neck and neck down to the end of this thing to decide who has home field advantage throughout and a first round bye. But at New Orleans, home against Atlanta, and a revenge game potentially at Dallas to close out your season when, regardless of how they've rallied and how hard they've played for McCarthy and company here of late, and they've played two of their better games the whole season here these last couple of weeks, Dallas has. But if you go into week 18, whatever the hell it is, like 19, 18, I can't remember the numbers, but your 17th game, and you can't go on the road and beat Dallas as you kind of walk into the postseason, again, this is kind of one of those, what are we really doing? We can remind ourselves, slow our roll, it's house money, it's fun, versus if you go 3-1, if you beat the three teams you are as good as or better, your resume says so, at New Orleans, you beat Atlanta, and if you come back and beat Dallas on the road in Dallas walking into the postseason with 11 wins, to your point, like that just
The eye line is that much better, right? It changes a lot of narratives. You're going to get rid of the Cliff Kingsbury Cliff narrative to some degree. You'll sort of change the rookie wall narratives, all the different things about, you know, that is sort of lingering out there waiting in the wings about Dan Quinn and his team's finishing and everything under the sun. You get 11 wins and probably the sixth seed in your first go-around here in a pretty crowded NFC. What an unbelievable step forward into seriousness for this organization.
Well, and look, you could say with Peters or Quinn or even ownership, like, it's already such a success this year that playoffs or not doesn't really change the perception, and maybe that's true. But think about how long Ron lived off of the fake division championship mm-hmm. in his first season. When they went 7-9 and won the East, like, he talked about that for 3 years after that.
He really did.
When we won the division, you see. And, I mean, you don't have to go back and explain yourself. Like, a division crown's a division crown. And we all knew how they got there. And, you know, it's like wearing a black T-shirt and telling yourself that you don't look as fat. But, like, no, you weren't a real division champion, but you got to moonlight and pretend like you were. I mean, you can live off that for a little while. I just think getting to the playoffs is significant for the young guys and specifically for Jaden in a big, big way. If you could win a playoff game, the amount of good that would do for your young quarterback going into next year in terms of building some expectations and an understanding of what that's like would just be so significant. I would love that.
Without a doubt.
But the big question I wanted to get into is how you spend in the bye week. So, Danny, we'll start with you. You don't have to worry about the Commanders Sunday. Is this a daddy weekend where you're going to go put some of the to-do list things behind you in December, or is this a football-heavy Sunday?
We're going to knock out a few projects. There will be plenty of the red zone. Me and Scott Hanson will get real intimate, right? I'll watch him for hours, not take a bathroom break. But I'm coaching the Vipers on Sunday. We've got a futsal game on Sunday. We might get a Christmas tree this weekend. I got a stand-up show Saturday night. There's a lot of stuff where it's not stressful. Not stressful. Happy to do it.
Does that mean the Ruiz do not have a tree up right now?
No, of course not.
Wow.
No, nothing like
December 6th.
Nothing like that.
Paulson's ahead of the schedule, I suppose.
Well, yeah. Well, don't you guys have one year-round?
No. Well, so that would be my move. I will say in the basement where I do, like, my Redskins tree, like, you know, I say Redskins tree. It's all Redskins memorabilia and logos and stuff. I do that in the basement, so hopefully nobody gets too angry or cancels me for that. But I keep that up for several months. Until my wife eventually comes downstairs one night while I'm watching sports, yells at me and tells me it's time. And then I don't do anything about it, and then that weekend, like, she puts it away. That's normally how it goes. Mm-hmm. That's generally in the spring, like during the Nat season at some point.
Didn't you guys get a fake tree, or am I imagining?
Oh, we very much did.
Yeah.
We have a 12-foot-tall fake tree in the living room right now. It's 12 feet tall. I don't know if I mentioned that.
You did.
The height of the tree is 12 feet.
What's the – if you were to say the height of the tree.
Of the 12-foot tree? Yeah. So it's like, think about a 6-foot guy, mm-hmm. and then another one on top of him. That's how tall the 12-foot tree is, roughly. It's so tall. We had to assemble the tree. We had to put lights and ornaments on the tree mm-hmm. before we put the top of the tree on.
Think the angel fit on top?
That's how high up the tree is.
Yeah. So
there was a ladder.
Yep.
There was, like, standing on shoulders.
I can't get this. 11 feet?
No, 12. 12 feet tree. 12. Yeah, 12 foot.
12, that's 12.
But we did it before Thanksgiving this year, which I was really happy about because Thanksgiving came a little late. Mm-hmm. It would have been outrageous not to have our tree up by Thanksgiving, as you know. Everyone has their tree up already. Certainly no one by December 6th wouldn't have a tree up.
Right.
So we don't have to worry about that. We got some people coming over to the house tomorrow, I believe, for a little holiday season kickoff. But come Sunday, it's the contract. It's the unwritten contract that I have. Is it fall or winter?
Yes.
Are NFL games on?
Yes.
I'll see you on Monday. That's kind of how it goes. Mm. So I will be, my kids can play if they want over that way. If they want to come watch with me, Daddy loves watching football with you.
Sure, but don't distract Daddy.
Although my son is so good at this now. He is so cute and so smart. So my son's bit is, he goes, Dad, is it football day? And I go, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting on the couch. He knows that I won't not let him have something. Pretty much. So, like, he'll go upstairs without me asking, and he'll bring down 2 Coke Zeros. I don't need 2 Coke Zeros. He'll go back upstairs. He'll get a cup of ice, and he'll bring it down. You look like you needed a daddy water. And I said, I do need a daddy water.
I do need that, yeah.
I'll pour the Coke Zero in. What am I going to do with this other one? He asks for it. You see?
Yeah.
He runs upstairs.
Oh, he ain't dumb.
He runs upstairs and brings down a big bowl with Tippies and Dippy.
Tippies and Dip?
And he just sits right next to me. Now, he gets bored after about 2 minutes, and he's on to the next thing. But he loves some Coke Zero, some chips, some dips with Scott Hansen. So we will enjoy ourselves this weekend at the Paulson household.
The best.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day.
My feed is up. It'll be so casual.
I'm curious what you guys are doing for the bye week, 800-636-1067. Also, top of the hour, we're going to get into every NFL matchup this weekend. We'll go game by game with some storylines. I don't know if you guys heard what one of the Wizards said after the game last night. They still have won 2 games all year. They had no win November. You're not allowed to do something in November.
Yeah, like no mustache November.
Right. That's the only one I know of. No win November. The Wizards had that. They're starting no win December now in their effort to capture the flag. One of their players made a comment last night. It was harmless. He didn't mean anything by it, but it was just so embarrassing to me. I want to get into that next. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We're in Springfield at Hard Times Cafe, a Friday field trip. Come on out and hang out with us on this Friday on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day, wherever you're at, listening to us. We appreciate you. A lot of ways to do so. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You can listen on the Odyssey app all over the country, wherever you are. And, of course, all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan. Our flagship will be live in Richmond on AM 910, FM 105.1 in just a few minutes. It is the bye week. We're celebrating an 8-5 start for the Commanders out here at Hard Times Cafe on our Friday field trip. I heard they're about to get the Guinness machine going so people can be drinking beers with our faces right on the foam.
I want to be clear about this. Our faces will be on a Guinness.
Yes.
That's been poured, and then you can drink us.
You guys will
it's
have to
so
let,
cool.
You have to let us know how we taste. And that doesn't...
That's a strange sentence.
Yeah, I tell you what.
But I know what you meant.
How do we rewind that?
Yeah.
You guys have to let us know how we taste when you drink the Guinness
beer. With the qualifier.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Very, very important. We will get that update from our listeners in due time here in Springfield. Let's go to the phones. Kevin's in Arlington, wants to hop in on the bye week that looms. What's up, Kev? How are you?
Friday, boys. This is awesome. What a football weekend. Both pro and college. You know, and yet, the number one thing I'm excited about, Grant and Danny, is the big game tonight in Toronto against our nemesis. That hockey game tonight is huge for a late-year game heading into the new year where the season really gets going. So I'm very excited about that. Very excited about the conference championship game. There's a handful of pro games, both red zone. But, you know, one thing I'm doing is tomorrow my wife and I, we're spending the day together. It's going to be Christmas shopping and lunch and maybe a movie. So date day tomorrow. And then just one last thing, if you'd let me, kind of local related. The enemy's out at UCLA, and Pino Sincieri, who cut his teeth under Cignetti at JMU, is the new offensive coordinator for the UCLA Bruins, and he's got a bright future. Remember the name.
Pino that is Sincieri,
cool. He was in C in Indiana.
And
you
boy.
Know, I don't need to say more about how great Indiana was this year.
Oh, so good. Cignetti did such a great job and gave us one of the great press conference moments at any level in sports this year when someone asked, how are you going to establish your culture? And he says, I win. Google me. It's a pretty great line by Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, dropping a Google me is pretty.
Oh, I love it.
You better have some good search results. Like, I'm not saying that. There's a bunch of bad stuff on there.
Is there?
Yeah.
It's just an awesome line. You got to be really confident in yourself to throw that out there. And then he backed it up and delivered as their head coach in Indiana all year long. By the way, college level tomorrow, got some conference championship games worth watching. Oregon, Penn State, 1-3. That's an 8 East time CBS tilt tomorrow. Texas and Georgia. By the way, none of this makes sense as conference championships, just so we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it.
You know how Oregon's playing Penn State?
Longtime rivals. Oregon and Penn State.
Big Ten championship football, as you know it. Texas and Georgia, you know, the SEC title game.
Your classic rivalry.
SMU and Clemson. Nothing says ACC title like SMU and Clemson, 7-17.
The old Southern Methodist University, that longtime ACC
team. UNLV and Boise State playing for a title tomorrow. Arizona State and Iowa State going to be playing. You know, Arizona State, that Big 12 power.
Sure.
It's all stupid. But the games will be fun, at least. And that's something to watch tomorrow. I do want to real quick, he mentioned the Caps. They do play with a chance to take an even further leap ahead of Toronto as the top team in the Eastern Conference. The Caps have 36 points, tied with the Devils with three games in hand for the most in the East. The Maple Leafs, who host the Capitals tonight, have 34 points. They would pull even with Washington on the year atop the Eastern Conference where they win tonight in the same number of games. So that's a good hockey game, a big hockey game. But the Wizards last night, Danny.
Yep.
We don't talk about them a whole lot. They don't give us a reason to. They're 2-18 right now. They have lost 16 consecutive games. They don't lose close, generally speaking, either. By 36 points at the hands of the Mavericks, they lost last night. And this was a harmless comment by a guy I really, really like, Bub Carrington, who's a baby-faced teenager who's going to be a really good pro for a long time. But after losing by almost 40 points for what was their 16th straight loss and falling to 2-18, the question that led to this answer was something along the lines of, like, hey, how do you keep your mindset positive? And he basically went on to talk about how cool it was that he got to meet Kyrie Irving last night in the basketball game. It was awesome. It was just awesome to cover him. You know, that was basically his point. It was just great to be on the floor with Kyrie Irving. This is not high school basketball.
No.
Like, that is an embarrassing thing to hear if you just paid $176 or whatever, I'm making something up, for like a lower-level Wizards ticket to watch them get beat by almost 40, that Bub Carrington was excited because he was on the same court as one of his heroes. That is just a sign of the times for the Wizards. Here was the audio.
You know, I just met Kyrie Irving, and like, it's not all bad.
What was it like going against Kyrie?
Having to defend him is as hard as you would think it is. Like, for real. Like, he's actually the real deal. And then just being on the same court as him, after, like, watching him grow up, after him being, like, my favorite player and all that stuff, like, it's just, like, an unreal feeling. But...
So it goes on. I think you get the gist there. Again, I don't want to beat up on Bub Carrington because all he did was just show some youthful exuberance, and he's a guy. I appreciate someone who understands to smell the roses while they're doing something pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But the quotes, I just met Kyrie Irving tonight. It's not all bad after you fell to 2-18 with a 36-point loss. Being on the same court as him is an unreal feeling. At the pro level, that's just telling about A, where they're at, and B, how far they are.
So I straddle the line here between understanding exactly what that means, big picture, where it's like, dude, I'm a kid and I'm in the NBA. Now I know there's a requirement here. I'm playing with grown men, and this is a job.
But he's not like a 4 minute per game,
right,
13th guy on the roster. He's one of their most important players.
Right, and that's why I'm going to present the other side in a second. So I understand the. I try not to take this for granted. I'm trying to remember who the big leaguer. I just was chopping it up with years ago. A guy that didn't really make a huge impact. I remember he's sitting out there while the pitchers are doing some kind of, bunting practice or whatever, and he's just sitting on the sidelines in the big league ballpark just kind of staring at the sights and sounds. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just chopping up with him for a second. And he's like, man, I'm in the major leagues. It's all I ever dreamed of as a kid. I will never take this for granted. So that wonderment, I think, is a nice positive thing. It's refreshing. That's on one side. The other side is you can have admiration for Kyrie Irving, your favorite player, and you checked him. Don't tell me that it's not all bad because you got to meet him.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I think that's the quote.
That's the one that bugs me a little bit. Again, I'm a Bub Carrington guy. I want five of those dudes. He's going to play hard. He's hard-nosed. He's tough. He's going to grow. He'll be fine. I bet you someone says that to him, say, hey, man, it doesn't look real good. You guys had a two-game winning streak this year, by the way. You've lost 16 in a row.
Yeah.
I'm just part of the plan, by the way. I got no beef with it. But maybe a little bit less wonderment. It's like, hey, it's time to go compete with these guys. That's kind of the culture you're trying to instill.
And it might just be one of those things, like if he didn't say it right after a 18th or a 16th straight 36
loss. 36-point loss, yeah.
Right after you lose by almost 40 at home. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was part of it. But the specific quote, I think, was just, it's not all bad. Mm. I got to meet Kyrie Irving. Like, no, bro. This isn't you're not a fan trying to get an autograph.
Right.
You lost by 40. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Mike Golic Jr. at 3:30 spins us around the NFL. Let's get you through every game. Look at some of the matchups and the storylines this weekend next on our Friday field trip from Hard Times Cafe in Springfield on the Fan.